What up, people? I'm Will.
I'm Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Yeah, bro.
Hell yeah.
Mostly.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck no.
All right, just give me a sec. Fucking hell. All right.
What are you doing?
Bottoms up, man.
Oh, okay. One needs to drink more. We watched another one of our favorite man's films. U-Bull.
Masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
U-Bull. Thanks.
U-Ball.
You know what? I think he solidified himself as my all-time most hated director.
He solidified ever. Himself that with our last thing of his.
It's true. It really is true.
All we needed was one movie, but here we are.
Like, fucking House of the Dead was bad enough.
Yeah.
We didn't need to continue. I didn't need to keep drinking hard alcohol while watching these movies and get drunk and probably mumble all over the fucking recording of this.
What'd you drink, Will?
So, I started out, it was called The Vampire's Kiss. Yeah, see? It was raspberry liqueur with cranberry juice and vodka. Then I added rum.
Yes.
Then I added strawberry vodka.
Yes.
Then I added a lot of more rum. And then I just added some of that. For some reason, I have that holiday Mountain Dew shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's delicious, but it's really, really, I discovered it's really good with Bacardi Black, okay?
Apparently.
And how fitting I was drinking Bacardi Black, because guess what their logo is? A black bat. You know, like a vampire.
What movie did we watch?
Oh, God. We watched Blood Rain. Yeah. Directed by Uwe Boll, circa 2005. Holy shit.
This is fucking... Okay, I mentioned this multiple times during the movie.
Oh, my God.
But this is the worst vampire-related media
like
I've ever consumed.
Like, literally the worst. Like, I would... I know this is going far, but not for this movie.
No.
I would rather watch Twilight.
Well, that's the obvious one. Everyone's going to say, what about Twilight? No, I've seen, like, the
first
Twilight.
Why do you think I mentioned Twilight? I would rather watch Twilight.
Yeah. Look, Twilight has... Its audience had its audience of 12-year-old girls.
At least Twilight.
What does this have?
Nothing.
Who's like?
There's no audience here because you know what? I don't know why, but he was like, "Hey, let's make 18th-century vampires, but boring."
Vampires. All you should have said is vampires, but boring.
Like, let's make an action movie about vampires and make it. Really fucking boring where people just talk for hours and
yeah.
don't fucking get to anything. And there's like two action scenes.
Nothing happens.
It's an hour and 30 minutes and there are legit two action scenes.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Where our heroes get captured over and over and over again. Or, you know, something else happens. Or, you know, there's a quick little... It's not even an action scene. They just murder vampires. Dude, oh my God.
I am on a mission, though, so before we get into the movie, I'm going to mention my little spiel.
Can I also say something before we get into the spiel?
Go for it.
I want to apologize if I at any point sound a little mumbly or incoherent.
Will needed a lot of
liquid. I'm not in the best frame of mind right now. And, the liquor is hitting me right now.
You needed a lot to survive this.
At this time of recording, the liquor has now decided to enter my bloodstream and affect me properly.
Hey, you suffered a lot.
So I want to apologize. I hope that you guys can understand me. I don't really care that I drank, but I care that I want to be heard. Because people need to know.
People need to know.
This atrocity to fucking movies. Okay, sorry. Go on your spiel. That was all I had to say.
My only spiel was that, again, this director, many times I've mentioned this, but I will mention this again. He thinks he's very good. He thinks he's up there with the greats.
He thinks he's like fucking Martin Scorsese.
He thinks he's better than everybody.
Like, he's like, oh, I'm like the second Francis Ford Coppola.
I'm so fucking good. None of you plebs understand my genius. Literally, that's him. That's what he says on his commentaries and everything.
You know what? Fuck Akira Kurosawa.
Oh, fuck it, dude. Okay. Akira Kurosawa never made a vampire movie where they get hurt by water.
Water.
Regular water. Now, this genius who thinks that, like, he is so holy and great. All of his early movies were funded by a tax scam where basically, if you lost a lot of money, the government would reimburse you for your losses because you were, like, helping the film industry or so forth.
Yeah.
And, of course, this fuckhead, all of his movies lost money. This cost $25 million.
Did you say that you were going to mention this every single time?
Yes.
Because, yeah. I'm glad you are, because it needs to be known.
Well, it needs to be known because the weird thing about him is that the further he gets into his career, the more the smugness increases, even though very shortly after this movie and the next movie, this tax scam was ended because the government literally changed the laws because of one idiot.
Because of him. Now, he also, he digresses so far that when we get to the end of his films, he's actually starting to blame the audience. Not
I think.
Not anything else, it's the audience.
On our that final aren't
supporting his films.
I think on our final video of him, the final movie that we do, we have to post the video that he recorded where he tells everybody, including the people who funded his movies, to go fuck themselves.
I'm at least going to link it because I feel like people need to know, because he went on this entire tirade about how people weren't supporting Rampage 3.
Yeah. Rampage 4, I think.
Oh, Rampage 4. Maybe it is 4. But yeah, the fourth, he's like, I thought people were behind it. But you know what? Fuck the fans. Fuck this. Fuck this. It's like, yeah, wow, great, great job, director. Really, like, go after your fan base. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's fucking pathetic. But that is the man we have.
That is, like, no tact. If you go after your audience, the people that support you and, like, want to see more creative ideas from you,
yeah,
that is the worst fucking thing you can do.
That was him.
I don't get why anyone would fucking do that.
Well, he did. Somehow.
Listen, the only reason we're going on this rant is because there ain't fucking anything in Blood Rain that you need to see. There ain't fucking anything. But you know what? We're gonna break it down for you.
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do it.
Let's get it over with.
So we get shitty fucking, well, I don't know if it's shitty, but it's weird, just artwork about fucking people, vampires killing people.
It's like classic artwork with occasional fake, like, bad blood dissolves.
The worst is at the end of it, we see a still
of Ben Kingsley.
Of Ben Kingsley from the movie.
Yeah.
Why do they need to add that? I don't know. Because he's an
ancient vampire.
Well, yeah, but
Kagan.
Oop. Oh, Kagan.
Kagan the vampire.
Now,
don't you know Kagan the vampire?
Can I also say that I mean, I haven't played Blood Rain in a very, very long time, but I have played the Blood Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first two.
Yeah.
Is there only two?
I think there's more, but I played two.
I played of them. Two of them. Now, already they're off to a bad start because Blood Rain was set in modern day.
Well, they didn't give a shit.
Because she had guns and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you could use guns in the game. It was
technically a third-person shooter.
Yes. But you did have, like, melee combat, too.
Yeah.
But that's if, like, you wanted to. It was like Devil May Cry, where you could use, like, long range or short range. It was like, you could choose.
Yeah, you could.
But in this, Uwe Boll, our genius director, decided to, no, fuck that. We're doing 18th century.
18th century.
Why? I don't know.
Because
he could get fucking cheap costumes.
Dude, who knows? He got castles.
Can I also say everything in this movie looks cheap?
Wigs.
Like, cheap. The wigs look fake as fuck, especially being Kingsley's. Like, the costume design was not there. Like,
Costume design?
I don't
design?
Talk about
honey.
Costume design because I don't need to in this podcast. Because
oh, honey.
Literally nothing is good. But, like, in this movie especially, like, it's a period piece, right?
Yeah.
So why not fucking at least try on the costume? So they didn't.
Nah, fuck that.
This movie costs a lot of money, and they didn't even fucking, like, spend it on any of the costumes.
Dude, they didn't spend it on shit. You know what they spent it on? Prostitutes.
Probably.
Prostitutes and getting...
And Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, Ben Kingsley, Billy Zane, and Michelle Rodriguez in it. To do special appearances, as they
special
say in the credits.
Yes. All right. Sorry. Let's just... Okay, we're not even past the credits, and I'm already going on tirades. Sorry. Okay. So, we get a village.
A village.
A village where there, we get Michael Madsen, some fuckhead, and Michelle Rodriguez, like, talking at a bar.
Yeah, and one of them...
And they're, like they're hunting down vampires, right? Mm-hmm. So, they're vampire hunters that hunt for this society called the Brimstone?
Brimstone Society.
Brimstone Society, yes. So, they hunt for the Brimstone Society, and we get, like, a scene where one of the guys is looking in, like, a candlelit mirror, and he looks over, and the guy isn't showing a reflection, so he stabs him.
He just straight up stabs him right away.
So, the bartender's like, okay, I can trust you guys. So, he shows her, I cannot talk. He shows them a poster of Rain? Well, I can't remember what they call
it. No, it's just a poster of a carnival.
Yeah, but they
saying that
they
have like
a vampire.
They have a vampire, and he's like, whatever.
So the vampire, and then it goes into the carnival, and we show like we have this woman that cuts a candle with these blades, and then
all these like fire breathers
and
whatever.
And then she leaves, and they bring out a vampire, mm-hmm. and they dip her hand in water, which apparently vampires, this is news to me, vampires are affected by normal ass water.
Well, when they did this, I was like, oh, is it holy water? Well, here's the thing, you find out later in the movie that no, any water,
it's just normal ass water.
Any water in this universe hurts vampires.
You know what,
whatever.
I don't get, like, I wonder if they just looked at it and were like, oh, holy water, we can't really use that.
But why?
Let's use normal water.
But why?
They couldn't just have someone bless it real quick and then...
Or
they couldn't even say, like, oh, this is holy water.
Yeah.
That's all they would need to do.
One line.
Not even a line. Extra word.
Yeah.
And that would have solved everything.
But no.
Holy water wouldn't have made sense because they're, like, demonic, right?
Yeah.
But no, they're just water. They couldn't even add holy.
Well, here's what they do. They also cut, like, her arms, and then one of them brings in a goat.
So they cut the goat's throat. Well, quote-unquote, cut the goat's throat, because it's, like, just some guy sawing a dull-ass blade into, a sheep's neck. And then, literally, the same scene, we see Rain drinking the blood, and the sheep... Alive, fully alive.
Oh, it's just chilling.
It's being pulled away.
It's just standing there like, what the fuck?
Like, it didn't die at all. It's just fucking there.
Goof.
And so, she drinks the blood and her arm gets rejuvenated after being dipped in the water.
Yeah, the arm that was dipped in water and the cuts, they're all gone.
So, she gets dragged in back and there's like a...
She's in a cage.
She's in a cage. And one of the girls from the carnival... The girl who cut the candles.
Is like, hey, we can escape.
We can escape. We can get out of here.
But just be patient.
Be patient.
And then she gives her a cross. And she puts it on.
So Rain puts it on.
It's fine.
And there we go. So then we get... So...
Oh, my favorite part is during her monologue, she's like, I know a place we can run away to. Where they play all day. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Where they play all day. And there's like... Food for everyone and all this, like, bullshit.
And it's heaven.
This is never mentioned again.
Ever.
Ever.
It's over.
So, the vampire hunters decide to head out and go to the carnival, right?
Mm-hmm.
But while that's happening, we get a scene of a guy who's clearly been drinking because he has an empty bottle in his hand. He goes to Rain's cage, and he gets in, and he drops the bottle, and it's empty, and it makes sure to show it. And then
because he's drunk.
He gets on top of her and starts trying to kiss her.
And she takes the bottle. She
takes the bottle and
smashes it.
Well, not even smashes it. She like
taps it.
Slowly brings it on his head.
She just bops him.
He bops him, but the glass breaks and he's like bleeding from the head.
And the blood like drips onto her mouth.
And she has like this carnal rage.
And this is the only scene, by the way,
of this
where you get
in Blood Rain
carnal vision.
I think in Blood Rain, if I remember correctly, when you get overpowered, it kind of happens like this. So mm-hmm. there's like an homage to the video game, but it's a really cheap imitation.
Oh, it's horrible.
So she like eats him and then gets out of the cage and fucking just starts murking everyone.
Yeah.
Just fucking murks everyone in the fucking village and then runs away.
That's it, yeah.
So the fucking vampire hunters get to this carnival. And they're like,
I do want to mention though, when she's murdering the like carnival owner or whatever the hell he is.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
She's stabbing him. She stabs him once, and he bleeds. She stabs him again, and it's like it's clearly a stunt double.
Yeah,
but they didn't bother putting on the coat.
So in one scene he's wearing a coat, and then he's not wearing a coat, and it's a different actor, and then he's wearing a coat again, and it's the same actor.
Again,
it's stupid.
Genius.
It's so fucking dumb. So she runs away. The vampire hunters get to the carnival. And without talking to anyone or without any regard, they just start chopping the heads off of all these like carnies heads.
Yeah.
And they fucking burn them. And they find a girl next to Rain's cage. And they're like, what happened to her? Like, and like, she's like, he's like, wait a minute. And he like twists her head and she has bite marks.
And she's like, I'm fine. She's like, my friend. Don't kill her.
Where'd she go? Where is she? And she's like, I don't know. And then Michelle Rodriguez just murks her. And then end scene. So.
But yeah. But like you said, though, they literally burn everybody.
Without.
Kill them. And everyone just kind of stands there like, yeah, it's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
This happens.
I mean, you're chopping the heads off of our friends and burning them, but we're not going to ask any questions.
Yeah.
This is already established in a scene that wasn't filmed.
Well, this happens all the time.
So now we get Billy Zane himself. Oh, Billy Zane.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, another special appearance actor.
Billy Zane.
So he's dictating a letter.
Oh my God, is this worst? He's just like, and dear
Katrin,
yes, put Katrin. So, I want you to come to Brimstone Castle.
Yeah.
And, like, just like, so overacted. It's
and then insane. He's done, and the guy's like, that's good.
He's like, how does that sound?
That's good. That's good.
End scene.
End scene. Done Billy Zane for his first scene.
And then we get Rain. Randomly, there's like vampires attacking like travelers. And she kills them.
She attacks villagers. Sorry, the vampire villagers. And then she like, I don't have any qualms with you.
You're safe.
And so they give her a ride to the fucking village. And then she gets off and then like,
she sees vampires.
She starts seeing vampires and, like, calls one of the women vampires over.
Well, because for some reason she has, like, vampire vision.
Well,
where she can see, like.
Alex, it's because she's a daywalker, okay? She's half vampire.
Okay, but there are scenes of her in daytime where they fucking put a cloak over her. Why?
There's scenes in daytime where the other vampires are in broad fucking daylight and they don't burn up. I don't get it, okay?
Dude.
Nothing in this movie makes any goddamn sense.
I'm just going to call it vampire vision.
Because you know what? Uwe Boll didn't fucking care.
No, he thought it looked cool.
He just thought it looked great, and he just went with it.
And he was wrong.
And go fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself.
So anyway.
But she has the magic power of vampire vision for one scene.
So she sees this woman trying to seduce a man.
And she sees her real face.
And she, like, calls her over.
She's like, hey, you want this, baby?
And the girl's like, hell yeah.
I want that. And then she just, Rain bites her, and that's it.
And then bites her and sucks her blood out.
And that's it.
And end scene.
End scene.
So now we get her going into a card reader. And this is the, oh my god. The card reader just explains the entire plot, basically.
No, the card reader beckons her, like, hey, come here. And then she's like, I know you. You had a bad childhood. Your dad's Kagan. You're fucking...
All this exposition, like, literally, like hours worth of, like, filmmaking just in one scene.
Not even hour. They could have done this in, like...
Any other way?
Anything.
Just one person over-explaining the entire plot.
Yeah.
About how Rain was born because Kagan raped her fucking mom and became a doorman.
Okay, but Will, can I ask a question? I want to ask you something. We know later and during this that Kagan apparently raped the mom and blah blah blah. Yes. So she's half vampire, half human. But she's not Kagan's daughter.
No.
Whose daughter is she?
I don't know.
Why is she half vampire?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Because her mom...
Podcast over.
Her mom wasn't pregnant when Kagan bit her.
Because she saw! She was hiding in the closet.
Alex, have you ever seen a little movie? You may have heard of it. Called Blade?
No.
Remember
in that Blade? That little indie film?
Yeah. Remember in Blade how... The pregnant mom got bit by a vampire, and that's why fucking Blade.
Well, that's what I thought they were gonna do.
Vampire.
That's what I thought they were gonna do.
Cause that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cause that fucking makes sense. That no. would mean he was half human, half vampire.
No, you know what happened? She became half vampire by apparently seeing
Kagan kill her mom.
Whatever.
That's how Kagan. I don't fucking
dude. Whatever.
Trying to explain this movie is like the most impossible task. So anyway, the fortune teller explains the whole fucking plot about how she has to go and
kill Kagan.
Kagan and like how she's gonna kill Kagan, basically. Yeah. So she needs to find like the eye or whatever. And she needs to go here. Go here, you know, like in a video game.
Yeah.
So
she goes to like a monastery.
So she goes to a monastery where apparently the eye, whatever.
Well, we don't know yet.
At this point, we have no idea what she's actually
because they're just like, she's just like I'm like tired and I need to rest tonight. They're like
so they give her food, and they give her a drink, and then she finds this secret passageway, goes and finds this weird guy sleeping next to a fucking mallet.
It's like a fucking, like, deformed guy with a huge head.
It's a boss fight.
Yes.
It's based on a video game. It's a boss fight.
Okay, but it's the only boss fight. Oh, my God. It's the only boss fight in the movie. And she fights him. And his giant mallet, which he throws away for no reason.
She easily overcomes him by smashing.
And he picks up, like, a mace.
And he tries smashing her, and then she gets the upper hand.
She takes his mace.
And smashes his face in.
End.
And then she takes the necklace off because obviously she knows exactly what to do.
The necklace is a key.
And she puts it in the fucking key box and then an Indiana Jones chamber opens.
Well, Indiana Jones chamber, but CGI. Yes. Because there's like fucking discs in the ground that just zoom across the room if you like step inside. So she does like a bunch of like gymnastics flips and that's it.
Then she gets so she had flung one of her blades into the ceiling and then one into the wall, conveniently.
No. What she did was, for no reason, stick her blades out in front of the discs, and then the discs hit the blades and they flew.
One of the blades flew, and then she threw the other blade into the wall, remember? And then she flippy dips her way to the fucking eyeball. The room starts filling with water, which she burns at. Even her boots... It shows her boots burning.
Her boots start burning the water and...
Her boots that are protective against her skin.
So she jumps and flips and starts hanging from her blade.
And then she grabs the eyeball and looks into it and the eyeball infuses into her. And all of a sudden, she's not fucking affected by water anymore.
Yeah, because she jumps down and it's fine. It doesn't... Whatever. So and then one of the guys walks in and is just like,
bored. You need to come with me.
He's like, come with me.
And then they go up and more exposition about how the eyeball and how this master vampire hid three objects from his body. An eyeball, a heart, and a rib.
And yeah. And
so the eyeball was hidden here, but they don't know where the other ones are.
But they've been guarding this place for generations.
And then all of a sudden we see fucking Ben Kingsley command an army of fucking weird half...
Well, no, before this, at some point before this, we see Ben Kingsley in his favorite chair, and he's like, kill her.
With the fakest wig I've ever seen on.
He just tells this guy to kill her, so he goes...
So he has an army, for some reason, of, like, these weird... I can't remember what they call them.
Who the fuck cares, dude? Hood
or something like that? I can't remember. But, like, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's fucking generic, and they're just fucking, like, hybrid humans.
They're just, like...
Like, in any other movie, they're hybrid humans. So it doesn't matter if
they... They never take advantage of that, by the way. They never do anything that's, like...
Special?
Yeah.
They're like, just who fucking cares? Random... Like
humans. Henchmen. Yeah. But they attack the monastery. We get a horrible action scene.
This is our own. This is one of two action scenes.
One of two big one fight of scenes. One of
two big fight scenes.
With lots of, like, fucking people flipping around and awful editing. Everything's awkward. Everything's horrible.
So Rain finally, like.
We get Rain fighting, and then the fucking vampire hunters show up.
Yeah, uh-huh. And they, like, start murking house, and then, like, Rain tries to get the upper hand, but she looks into Michael Madsen's eye, and then they see...
Each other?
And he sees the eye in her eye, and the bad guy, like, punches her in the fucking stomach and kidnaps
her. And knocks her out.
Easily.
And, like, puts a bag over her.
And they don't even try and get to her. No. They just keep fighting.
Yeah.
And then they just let her go away, and then they fight and they kill the last vampire, and they're like... Hey, maybe we should chase after her.
Yeah.
And they get on a horse and go after her.
That's it.
But they in know between exactly this, where to go for some reason.
Well, here's the thing. They know there's only one sex dungeon, apparently, in the land. But before this, we get Daddy's Hungry.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because Ben Kingsley's in his chair.
And he's like...
And they bring a woman. And he's like, come here.
Daddy's Hungry. So and he feeds...
Feeds.
So anyway, so now the Vampire Center knows exactly where to go to Meatloaf's
sex dungeon. Well, because the fucking idiot brings Rain covered in a bag.
What I love is this is a vampire bringing another vampire in broad fucking daylight to a fucking sex dungeon.
We'll see. Rain needs the bag over her head to protect from the sun, but apparently the guy carrying her, it's fine.
Who is an established vampire at this point.
No, it's fine. He's got special powers, apparently.
So, I don't know. They go in, and Meatloaf's like, blah, 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 you brought her here, she has the eye, I want her.
She's hot!
Here's one of my prostitutes, I'm gonna gouge the eye out of her.
No, first he's like, fine, take her, and then he like looks at her, he's like, oh, she's got a cool eye. Fuck you, bitch.
And of course, the vampire hunters arrive at the nick of time.
Yeah.
They take out the guards in the front. And then right before he's about to gouge out her eye, they, like, start fucking murking house.
So they go in, and
they infiltrate.
You forgot, though. Before they start murking house up there, they start walking through his sex dungeon.
I know, and no one cares. No one cares that they're there.
One person cares and gets murked.
Yeah.
One. Everyone else, they're just fucking and sucking blood, and then one person's like,
you don't fucking care?
One person is like, you don't belong here.
You think they fucking care?
No.
No, because they just walk right in.
Yeah.
And just fucking start, like, taking out everyone.
No.
And then...
They leave the sex dungeon. They kill one person in there, but they walk upstairs to Meatloaf. And then they just start fucking shit up.
And then Michael Madsen has a great idea to break out the windows.
So yeah, he shoots
out. Because in a sex dungeon, Meatloaf lives in the only fucking room
with windows. With
windows.
But the windows, they're only lethal if you break them, apparently. So he shoots them out with his tiny little hand.
His hand arrow that we've just now seen for the first time.
And it makes this, like, pew, pew, pathetic noise.
And he shoots out both the windows, and fucking Meatloaf gets fried.
Yeah.
And then Rain covers herself with a blanket, and the other guy runs away. The big bad.
Yeah. They rescue her.
So then we get a scene of Ben Kingsley saying, like, oh, you failed me.
No, he's like, the guy's like, she has the eye, and Ben Kingsley's like, oh, never mind. Take her alive.
Yep, don't kill her anymore.
So
now we get Michael Vampire Madsen, Hunters, the other guy, and Rain on a boat in the middle of the night.
How can we trust her? And they're like, and the guy's like, we know she's like different because no normal vampire would survive the journey over water.
Even though we see vampires on the water.
Who the fuck knows?
Continuity,
dude? Does not exist. It's just out the window.
Who cares about continuity, okay?
Not Uwe Boll.
I want to tell a cool story, and this isn't even it.
This is not it, dude.
So we get more exposition, and now it's So now she's, like, locked up in a cage, right? And they're, like, talking to her.
Like, why can we trust you?
Why can we trust you? How can we trust you? And she's like, I just need to feed on, like, rats or
anything.
Some other animal. I don't feed on humans.
But we get more exposition. She tells them her backstory.
And we get a flashback.
Of her hiding in a closet while her mom walks between two rooms.
Because she said Ben Kingsley, Kagan, had raped and murdered her mom.
Yeah.
Right?
So we see the flashback.
So so the mom hides the girl in a secret room, and then she walks away and then walks back.
You mean
back
a closet?
Yeah. Walks back into the room, and Ben Kingsley's there. And he pushes her onto the bed and gets on top of her.
Bites her
and then murders her. He never rapes her.
Unless
he raped her before, and that's what
or
was
after.
Implied. I don't know.
Who knows, dude?
But anyway, like, Rain saw all of this, right?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, we can trust her because she hates Kagan just as much as we do.
Well, one of them's like, and then as he like unlocks her chains, he's like, well, we all need like to trust one another sometimes. That's it.
Yep. So now we get a beautiful, like, 5-minute training montage.
Well, because they're like, well, you can train with us. And then she kind of sort of trains and immediately is like a master of the moves.
Can we mention at this point, and I just want to go on a little rant here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I told you this after the movie.
Is this about the weapons?
Yes.
Okay.
So, in any other movie, any other medieval movie, any movie that involves swords.
Any movie.
What you do is when the actors are dealing with the swords and acting and not doing fight scenes, you use, like, realistic swords. You use swords that maybe are not sharp.
But at least they look real.
But at least they look real. Like, you use actual, like, you use different swords because you want different swords for action scenes and different swords for, like, close-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because you want the swords to look real, right? So in fight scenes, you use prop swords because they're moving so fast that you're not going to notice that they're prop swords. And in the scenes where the actors are acting with the swords, you use real swords.
No.
Maybe not sharpened,
no,
but real swords. No. Uwe Boll had
efficient.
Uwe Boll is efficient because he forgot about the realistic swords.
Oh, fuck that.
He just used prop swords for every fucking scene.
Yeah, so every scene, there are people with swords that the edge is dull.
It's, like, rounded.
That you couldn't stab a cake with it.
It looks like a high school plays version of a fucking sword.
Even those would look better.
Because they have pointed tips and not rounded?
They're not fucking rounded. It's embarrassing.
Even Rain's weapons are rounded.
Yeah.
That's how fucking pathetic this movie is.
Yeah.
They couldn't even use sharp fucking, like, weapons for the close-ups.
Dude, they could not do it.
I don't get it.
No, they couldn't do it.
What did they spend the $25 million on?
Ben Kingsley, Michelle Rodriguez, Billy Zane, and...
Maybe Michael
Madsen? Who am I missing?
Madsen?
Oh, yeah, Michael Madsen.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so anyway, sorry, I just had to go on that because holy shit, that, like, it infuriated
me. Get used to it. If because you watch this movie, it's in every single every goddamn scene. Every scene
you see butter knives. They're fighting with butter knives.
Yeah.
Every single blade is like the dullest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's... They don't even... It's they don't try.
It's embarrassing. So after the training montage, she's in her cage and the guy comes out.
And he's like...
And he's like, you know what? I'm horny.
No, 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 no. Here's what they do. Because she's like talking about her bad dreams or whatever.
Oh, and he said like...
I have pain too.
Kagan killed his mom and dad.
No, no. No, no, no. Here's what happened. The main vampire hunter guy, Vladimir.
Oh, because, yeah, his parents were turning into vampires.
And they were about to eat him. Little baby.
And Vladimir saved him.
And he's like, I have pain too. And what do they do after this?
They fuck.
Fuck the pain away. Because here's what happens. He's writing some bullshit. And then she, like, just opens up her fucking cell door. Goes up to him. And just... They just fuck. They fuck against the cell.
She mounts him against the fucking cell. And in certain shots, it doesn't even look like they're up against the cell. And he's, like, weirdly, like, thrusting while she's, like, thrusting the other way. And it just looks weird. And it's very...
Oh, it's so awkward, dude. It's
very clear that they are not actually, like, having sex.
Oh, it's so awkward.
It doesn't look fucking real at all.
My favorite, though, is the awkward nipple licking.
Oh, yeah, that's where she's like, riding up and down on him, and he, like, he tries to stick out his tongue, and he just manages one on her nipple. Just
one lick.
One little... On her nipple. Like, that is it.
And that's then, the best he gets.
He keeps trying and everything, and it's, like, just desperate and fucking horrible.
Oh, my God.
God, it is the worst sex scene. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of sex scenes in these kind of movies anyway, because I think it's stupid and it's unnecessary. But, like...
It's fine.
This is the dumbest sex scene I've ever seen.
It's great. I don't have a problem with it, but Uwe Boll's just not...
I don't have, like, a big problem with it, but I think it's always unnecessary. Like, I don't get why there always has to be, like, this long, dramatic sex scene.
You know why?
Because people like titties and ass, you know? I get
titties
it.
And ass.
I get it.
But here's the problem, though.
But it's an action movie. Who fucking cares? I actually like action movies without the fucking romance.
Oh, you call this romance?
Well, no.
But Uwe Boll had to get his fucking titties in. And it's Uwe Boll, so of course, you don't even get, like, a halfway competent sex scene. It's just embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
But it's okay. This is how you know they're in love. Because after this, they talk, like, one time.
Yes.
There's more training.
And then Michelle Rodriguez is mad because they let her out of her cage.
And she trains with her, and she kicks her fucking ass. Because apparently everyone else has been, like, on easy mode, I guess. I don't know. And then we get...
Billy Zane again.
Because he's been writing letters to her.
And she wrote a letter to him saying that, like, she, you know, like, Rain is here, basically, and, like, all this stuff. And, like, then one of the bad guy's henchmen, so fucking Ben Kingsley henchman...
Is about to, like...
The main henchman...
He confronts him.
Comes into Billy Zane's office and is like, you know where Brimstone is.
Tell us
what Brimstone, like, is.
Hey, he's, I'll, like, tell you, no. What, let's overthrow Kagan and I'll be like, I'll make you rich.
And the guy's,
whatever,
like, no. And then
end scene.
And then end scene.
We never see him again.
We never see Billy Zane again.
We don't know if he sold them out, if he didn't, what happened. Nothing.
Which makes the next few scenes very confusing.
Because the fucking vampire man, old guy, like, and fucking Rain leave, and Michelle Rodriguez stays back, and then the fucking dudes come to raid Brimstone.
Yes, because apparently we figure out that Michelle Rodriguez's character sold them out because Daddy said to, even though we literally saw none of that.
We saw none of that, and we never see Daddy again.
Billy Zane doesn't show up at all.
It's over.
He just noped the fuck out.
Apparently.
So, anyway, they go and ride off, and they, like, are just camping, and then Rain decides, like, all of a sudden that she's, like, just gonna leave. And the guy's like, no, don't. And she's like, no, I can hear the heart. I can hear the heart calling me. And then guess where the fucking heart is? Right back where the fuck they were.
So
here's, what did they go off into the wilderness for? I don't fucking know.
Well, so here's what I don't get. The main bad guy and his henchmen show up before this, right?
Yes.
And they see that everyone's already dead.
Yes.
And they're just like, okay, whatever. Because Michelle Rodriguez murdered everybody, apparently.
Yes.
Apparently. Her and like two guys murdered the entire fucking compound. It's fine. Whatever. And they're just like, whatever. Everyone's just like, whatever. And then Rain sails on back. And she's just like, I hear it. So the heart was in Brimstone.
The entire time.
Just in like a little puddle. Fucking.
I know what question you're going to ask next.
No.
Why the fuck did they leave if Rain could hear the heart in Brimstone?
I'm pretty sure we had a previous scene where she heard it.
Yes.
But ignored it.
We did.
For reasons.
Because she could have sex with that guy and then leave in the wilderness just to come back to the same place they already were.
To get back to the same place by herself. Whatever.
It's like in video games when you have to backtrack to a different, to like the same place to find.
Literally.
Yes. But in video games, it's okay because there's different stuff. But in Blood Rain, in the movie, there's just a bunch of dead people.
There's dead people and there's a cavern with water. And in that cavern, Michelle Rodriguez is going to go swim for the thing.
So she has her henchmen swim for it and they can't find it. So she's like,
fuck it.
Fine, I'll fucking do it by myself.
And she swims.
And then Rain finds another hole.
Somewhere.
And fucking swims down and they have a fight in the water.
And she gets stabbed, but it's fine.
And then Rain swims after her and Michelle Rodriguez, instead of setting the heart down on the shore where her henchmen could easily get to it.
Nope.
She just death grips onto it.
And eventually.
And gets murked by Rain.
Rain snaps her neck and lightly bites her and roars. End. That's it.
End scene.
That's the end of
That's how she gets the heart. That is literally how she gets the heart.
That is the end of our epic fight.
So now, oh my god, what happens next?
I can't even remember. Oh, they go to the fucking...
Oh, she rides to the fucking main castle.
Yeah.
And like tries to confront Ben Kingsley's character.
No, before this, they have a fucking... At some point, there is a scene where they go to a fucking, like, some dude who has, like, secret weapons.
Oh, right, and they Chinese gunpowder and
they get gunpowder and water.
A glass of water. So they get weapons, and he makes her, like, new knives.
And then...
That look like butter knives.
Then she goes to confront Ben Kingsley.
And she gets, like, he, captured, like, immediately.
Shoves her in the prison. And then our guys show up to fight. And they get shoved in the prison. They get
captured immediately. And then finally there's the ritual, right?
Yeah.
This is what we've all been leading up to. This is the whole movie has been leading up to this final scene, right?
Whatever you say, bro.
So now
they bring Rain out of the prison. So
in the movie we forgot to mention, because I'm drunk and this movie sucks, we forgot to mention that Ben Kingsley's character is the sole possessor of the rib of that ancient vampire.
Yes.
And so Rain has the eye, the heart, and Ben Kingsley has the rib.
Yes.
So we assume that Rain has put the heart inside of her.
No.
Because she found it.
You assume wrong, bitch.
Oh, wait. We don't assume that yet. Even though it's easy to assume that.
No, you assume wrong.
Because she did not.
Because Ben Kingsley has the chest in front of him. For now.
So she gets taken away to do the ritual. They lay her down on a stone slab. And some guy takes a butter knife and tries to cut her throat.
Yeah. And then after that, Michael Madsen and the other dude, they stage a plan. See?
No,
Michael Madsen is just like,
please tell me what's the plan.
I lost my cellmate. I don't know where he is. And the guy's like, what? And he stands up. Goes in the fucking cell, opens it, gets knocked the fuck out. And then that's it.
Like, where was the other guy gonna go?
Thin air. It's
fucking stupid.
It's dumb, dude. And they're doing the fucking ritual, and they break in there, and they start fighting.
Oh my god, this is the stupidest fucking fighting on the planet. It's so, it's like, you know how in older movies they had to like do slow scenes
and speed it up?
It's like they did that but forgot to speed it up.
Well, the problem is in those old movies, they wouldn't do that like over and over.
Right.
They'd do it every now and then. But you don't do that for the whole thing and then do random slow motion where it's just like, it's not even slow motion. You're just literally slowing down the frames and it's like choppy. They do that.
Yep.
But they keep fighting and eventually...
Michael Madsen gets stabbed.
Well, don't forget, Ben Kingsley is like, he looks in the container with the heart and guess what's not in there?
It's not in there. So he tries to cut it out of Rain.
Well, first, he goes... And takes the sword and just walks. Remember?
He walked into Michael Madsen.
Because two douchebags hold Michael Madsen and he just walks into him, blank, and is just like, you're
dead.
Stabs
him right through the heart.
And that's it.
And then the other dude is fighting another guy and he stabs him. And then he like tries to kill the main henchman's guy and he gets him down on his knees and he's about to stab him in the back
and gets stabbed
and the henchman stabs him in the stomach and then the guy like pulls the sword around his neck and then like drags it up
and just slits his throat with a giant fucking sword and somehow doesn't cut his own fucking fingers off. It's fine.
Well, he did cut Rain free, too, and she, like, stabs another girl.
Yeah.
And then it's finally time for Rain
to fight Kagan.
And Ben Kingsley to fight.
And they talk, they fight, but my favorite part is she, like, stabs him, and he's just like...
Ungrateful bitch.
And then...
Even that's too much emotion.
They fight some more, and he's about to stab her with a little pencil, remember?
And then... Fucking the guy, that Rain had sex with, is like finally remembers he had the water,
and he throws it at Ben Kingsley,
and like Keegan catches it,
and then he shoots an arrow gun,
and then breaks the bottle, and then like Keegan Kingsley, and then like
shoots another arrow,
and then shoots another arrow. Kingsley catches it and tries to stab Rain with it. Rain turns it around
and stabs him
in the heart,
and he dies.
So then Rain runs up to the guy, and she's about to bite him because she doesn't want him to die.
And he's like, no. He's like, this is the way it has to be. And he dies. And she's sad.
And then she's sad, gets up, and then sits on the throne. It zooms in on her eye that's now the changed eye. And end movie. Dude.
Fuck this.
Fuck this movie. It's such a boring movie. Like, even explaining it hurt.
You get, like... no action.
There's like zero action. There's just a bunch of scenes of people explaining shit. That's like all it is. It's like a boring training scene. So like first you get like a boring action scene, a boring carnival scene, a boring like fucking like explanation scene where the fortune teller tells her, and then a boring fucking like kind of action scene. Like, it's just dumb. It's just, everything about this movie is dumb.
Like I said before, it is the worst bit of vampire media I have ever consumed on any medium.
It's boring.
It's awful.
It's boring. It's an hour and a half and it feels like an eternity.
It is an eternity.
It feels like it goes on for fucking ever because all they do is goddamn talk in a fucking vampire action movie.
Talk and like...
Which I could forgive if it was actually good dialogue. But
if it was a good movie.
It is not good dialogue at all.
There's tons of like conspiracies and double crosses and but none of it. There's no weight. There's
like
no anything.
Conspiracies and double crosses, but dumb.
Well, there's no weight. Well, there's no emotion. There's no stakes.
And it's barely explained. Like,
yeah.
How are we supposed to know Michelle Rodriguez's character betrayed them? Because they just explain it in one scene in an off, like, sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, Catrin betrayed us. That's literally all they say. And we're just like, Okay, that would have been more significant if you actually showed Katrin betraying them.
No, what we got was a 2-second scene of her, like, killing some people.
Stabbing a girl. That's it. That is literally it.
That's the best you get.
She didn't go through the village and kill a bunch of people. Nope. Just her stabbing one person. And then Billy Zane apparently betrayed them, but we never saw that ever.
Ever.
And he never said he betrayed them.
No. He goes, they cut the scene, and we never see him again.
That's how they end Billy Zane's character. This movie is...
I'm done.
It's stupid. It's so dumb.
I'm done.
Can we just do fucking Shitty to Pretty? Like, yeah, I know it's not
gonna one!
Be. One. It's clearly a one.
What the fuck? There's nothing.
I need to go sober up. This movie is fucking horrible. These movies drive me to drink, and that's not good. I drink a lot during this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even drink this much. Well, no. So, Alone in the Dark, I drank the least amount.
Yeah.
Not Dawn of the Dead. Fucking.
Watch your fucking mouth, boy.
Night of. Fucking what is.
House of the Dead.
House of the Dead. God damn it. Sorry, I'm a little drunk. House of the Dead made me drink. This one made me drink heavily. So, and then Alone in the Dark, moderately. But this one, heavily.
Heavily.
I drink a lot of fucking alcohol. And this movie is just shit. It's complete shit. There's no fucking need to watch this pile of garbage. It is incomprehensible. It is the biggest piece of shit vampire movie I have ever seen in my entire life, and I've watched pretty much every single Twilight movie.
It's people say, oh, are you sure? Yeah. Yeah, we're sure.
I am dead serious. I guarantee you, like, out of all the vampire movies I've watched,
this is worse.
Is the literal, like, bottom of the fucking barrel.
This is worse.
Like, I would marathon the entire fucking Twilight series before I watch this movie again.
But it's fine, because we have two more of these.
I know, and one's set in the Wild West, and then one is about Adolf Hitler trying to get himself injected with vampire blood. Okay, so look forward to those.
Our only hope is that it's going
to
be...
I'm not looking forward to those, because...
Somehow more entertaining.
I mean, if I black out and start recording just gibberish, you'll know what happens.
You'll know.
Yeah.
You can't even get bad movie entertainment from these fucking things.
I got no entertainment from this movie.
Like, we watched...
Zero.
Fucking Another Son of Sam, which is it's a bad movie. But it was entertaining.
At least we were able to laugh at how stupid it was.
At least there's things happening.
This one, it's like, you can't even laugh because, like, yeah, the acting's bad, but literally nothing is fucking happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's just people acting badly and talking about bullshit for fucking an hour and a half, and nothing fucking happens. Like, literally, you go an hour without a fucking action scene, and it's just fucking... Michael Madsen doing his worst performance ever, trying to explain this bullshit plot, and fucking, like, Rain trying to understand it, and fucking Ben Kingsley, like, trying his best to work with Uwe Boll as a director. Like, it's just a bunch of bullshit. It's just a bunch of people trying to fucking act, making a paycheck, and making an incomprehensible pile of fucking garbage. It's just a steaming hot pile of garbage. Fuck you, Uwe Boll. I can't believe we're watching all your fucking movies because you don't even deserve it.
Almost all. There are some we're skipping for moral reasons.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair.
We're not watching his next one. Chronologically, the next movie is Seed, and I'm not watching it because he decided to insert footage of animal death in the movie.
Like real animal death.
So, like, because he's edgy.
We wanted to make people creep, like, grossed out.
Because I can't make people scared from, like, my actual movie.
Because I can't get a real reaction out of people. I have to use other people's footage.
So I'm going
to
use footage of things dying. You fucking hack.
You can't get an actual reaction out of people, so you just fucking resort to using actual other footage that other people have used and just using it for your film.
Like slaughterhouse footage and shit. Like, dude, are you fucking dumb?
Because at no point in this movie or any movie we've watched did I feel anything for these movies. No joy. maybe a lot of anger and
I was
going to
say
sadness.
I feel hate.
I felt sadness for Ben Kingsley.
I mean, I feel bad for the actors.
I do too.
Most of them.
Some of them are actually pretty reputable.
Yeah, I feel bad for most of them.
But
they don't deserve this.
But I don't feel the slightest remorse for giving this movie like a solid fucking one.
Fuck this.
If I could give it a zero, I would. Because this fucking movie is awful. If you want to watch this pile of hot, fucking, steamy, vomity garbage, you can go ahead and go on Prime and torture yourself for an hour and a half. And if you want to watch with us, well, hey, guess what? We'll be watching the next two, too.
Yeah. We'll be suffering all the way.
Not right away, though, because we have the fucking... Oh, my God.
I'm in the name of the king.
Dude, the next, like, four movies are, like, gonna be the shittiest things on the planet. I'm not fucking excited.
Watch your mouth.
Any movie.
Beyond the Door is gonna be great.
Shut the fuck up.
You got an Exorcist ripoff with Funk.
Yeah, right after you make me watch the fucking worst Exorcist movie known to man.
Just wait.
Yeah, that's right. Okay? I'll say it.
Yeah.
We're watching Exorcist 2 next time.
It's the next movie.
We're watching Exorcist 2. Exorcist is my favorite horror movie, and my God, I am not excited.
Oh, Will's so excited?
Oh my God, I am not excited.
Will's favorite horror movie is going to get shit on.
There's a reason. So Exorcist is a masterpiece. I'll talk about this more when we watch the actual movie.
When we talk about
how much I love The Exorcist. It's a masterpiece. I think it's my favorite horror movie. It always has been. Like I've thought about it a lot, and I'll explain why next time when I'm less drunk. But now, Alex, the Mad Lad, and this podcast are making me watch Exorcist 2.
Exorcist 2.
Like, that's worse than The New Beginning, and that bullshit was horrible.
That's debatable.
A fucking jangly...
That's fucking debatable,
jumping
dude.
Demon in the end of the movie.
Debatable.
Yeah.
It's debatable that it's worse. I'm sorry. Exorcist The Beginning. It's, we'll watch that eventually. Don't worry.
I am not excited for that. But yeah. And then after Exorcist 2, we have to watch another Uwe Boll shit fest, which is then In the Name of the King. And then after that, we get to watch a fucking Rosemary's Baby and fucking Exorcist ripoff.
Fuck yeah.
God damn it. The next four movies are going to fucking kill me.
You're fine. You'll survive.
Because guess what we have to watch after fucking that Exorcist ripoff? We have to watch Blood Rain 2.
Wild West.
The next five movies are guaranteed to be like the absolute shittiest fucking things we have ever graced our eyes upon, okay?
Oh, I can't wait.
Like, dude, like, this marathon of shit will give fucking Headless Horseman a run for its money.
No. Exorcist 2 is going to be bad, but it's going to be, there's more in that movie than in this. Guarantee.
That's true.
It may be horrible. But even people riding bumblebees is more than what happens in this fucking movie.
That is fair. That's fair. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Yeah, we're done.
I'm sorry. There's not going to be much of a description for this episode because I'm drunk. So I don't know if I can write too much.
Look, the movie speaks for itself.
Anyway.
You don't need anything.
Also, we got an important announcement. After like 3 months of not doing one, we finally are doing another fucking live stream.
Yeah.
Like 3 months. We're sorry we kept you waiting, but we're doing one, okay?
It's happening.
It's going to be on the 24th. The 24th of November, we're doing a Before Turkey Day live stream for all you fucking people that want to watch.
Fuck yeah.
So
I'm excited.
Be there I'll start spamming it now because we have a week until we do it.
We got time.
I'm excited too. I'm really excited. We're gonna try and do a December one. I'm not making a promise on that one because we both are very busy.
There's a lot of shit going on.
So,
but we will try.
But we will try, even if it's like a 2-hour thing.
Yeah.
But I want to try and do like shitty holiday games. So if you have any recommendations,
Will's a true madman.
Like, please send them my way. I want some shit, like holiday games, like Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever games you got.
Oh my god!
I want fucking shit holiday games. So if you got them, please recommend them. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's all we got.
Bye.
So there's the announcement. As always, for They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
This has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
God, I still need a fucking drink.
No, you don't.
Oh my
fucking
God.
Please seek help.
No, I can't. Not until after In the Name of the King.
No!
Or Blood Rain 3.